So Matthew 14, 25 through 32, and here it is. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. You see him? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "let me come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshiped him. What would you do, right? You are truly the Son of God. Father, we just come before you this day. We are disciples in the boat on a journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus, asking deep questions about our existence and why we're here and who you are. And Jesus comes into our life. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would open our eyes this morning, that we could see with spiritual eyes. We pray that you would touch our ears this morning, that we could hear with spiritual ears. We pray for the ministry of the Spirit of the living God to fall upon us this morning as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. What do you want to say to us today, Lord God? When we leave here today, will we be able to say we met with God and God spoke to me? So, Lord, we're listening. We pray that you would speak to us now in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ would say, amen. And you may be seated. So here's a question for you this morning. If you had a time machine and you were able to go back in time, and if you could pick one moment in the life of Jesus that you could go back to and see for yourself, you could be a fly on the wall, let's say, what would you pick? This was a question that we asked last week in ministry staff. We were talking about this. Our leadership team got together, and we were like, From our own understanding of who Jesus is, as we read the scriptures and we've seen the things that Jesus did in his three-year ministry, if you could pick one thing, like you would wish you could have seen, what would it have been? Some people said they wanted to see the feeding of 5,000. They thought that would have been really amazing to watch just food materialize from nothing and just feed. Some people said the raising of Lazarus from the dead. That would have been amazing to see Jesus raise a person that had been dead for 4 days. Somebody said they wanted to see the pigs go off the cliff. They thought it would have been kind of cool just to see a herd of pigs. Just what was that like? Healing a leper. That would be awesome. Would you like to have seen that? I would. Imagine a body that's diseased, completely healed. That would have been cool. There's a time when Jesus went up on a mountain and he was transfigured. He began shining like the sun. That would have been pretty cool. Many people would say if they could go back, they'd want to see this one. If I could have been there, I would have loved to been with Jesus. Been there and watched him come into you walking on the water in the midst of a storm. This one's in the top three for me, for sure. And we're just going to leave that up there because I want you to think about this. And let me give you the background. This was in the early of ministries of Jesus, probably within his first year of doing ministry. He lived in obscurity for about 30 years, the carpenter from Nazareth. And when age 30 hit, he goes to the Jordan River, John the Baptist, he's baptized. It says the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and power of his ministry began. And then Jesus, fulfilling scripture, goes down into the Sea of Galilee area and began doing miracles and signs and wonders. Right before he had done this, he had just fed 5,000 people. Right before Jesus doing this, all the men around the area of Capernaum rose up and they wanted to make him king by force. And they were willing to go to war with Jesus being their commander in chief and defeat the armies of Rome and bring in the messianic age of the Messiah, in which the disciples were totally expecting to happen. But after Jesus had done this amazing miracle, he sent away the army as he told his disciples to get into a boat. And as the disciples rowed away, they were confused. Have you ever been following Jesus and there's times you're just confused in what he's doing? Join the club, because all the dudes in the boat are just like you. There's many times when Jesus doesn't do what we expect him to do. So they're rowing away, they see Jesus shoo away an army and their expectations of him. They're out in a boat and the storm comes, and before you know it, they're rowing all night long trying to fight against the wind and the waves. They're confused, they're frustrated, they're also amazed. And then early in the morning, here he comes. Here he comes. Would you've loved to have seen it? When Jesus is walking toward the disciples on the boat, he has a message for them. He's trying to communicate something to them by walking toward them on the water. He's not doing this because he just thought it would be cool. He realizes that they're struggling. He has a message for them. As he's walking toward them, he has a message for you as he walks toward you. And the message is, I'm the Son of God. Trust me. In the next series that we started last week, and we're going to be traveling all through, we're going to be talking about how important it is to focus on Christ. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter political conventions and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and struggles and economics and all the stuff in the world that's just screaming at you, if you can just focus here, you'll walk above the waters. No matter what storms are coming, personal or just national or world, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, people, you'll walk above the storms. Look what Peter did. There was all kinds of problems happening back then at that time, too. In this next series, we're going to be encouraging you to look up. Because when you look up toward Jesus, there's power in looking up, okay? And there's hope. If you just see him, there's power in seeing Jesus. The power to transform your life. Power to transform everything. Put your eyes on Christ. What is Jesus doing right there? He's walking on water. What is he communicating to his disciples and to you? Question this morning. How powerful is God? How powerful is God? Which is a thought for us to meditate on, okay? And now I speak from a person on my own journey to follow Jesus. I come from a background where there was a time in my life where I did not believe in a God. I was an atheist. That means I don't believe there was a God. And people were witnessing to me. And we had long conversations. The moment I began to shift my thinking from there is no God to there might possibly be a God, I immediately had to rearrange some possibilities that were in my mind. If there is a creator, you have to immediately attribute certain things to this creator. Tell me you're with me. Are you with me? If you move in your thought process from there is nothing to there might be something, if there is this something, if there is a God, you immediately need to begin to do certain things, or you have to give certain things to whoever this God is. For example, you got to be able to say that this God, if there's a creator, he has to have the power to create. That's a step. The power to create. The power to create something from what? Nothing. Look around, right? So as I grew up in Big Bear, my dad for a living built cabins in Big Bear. And it's so cool. Like I went up there with a college crew group a while ago, and I can look over there. That's one of my dad's houses. He built cabins up there for many years. He built hundreds of these things. And I was a part of his cleanup crew. I'd have to show up to these places after the framers were there, and I'd throw stuff in the back of a dump truck. And my dad used tools and materials to create. My dad used tools and materials to create wood for framing, copper for piping, and so forth. Imagine God who doesn't need tools or materials, but creates from nothing. Is that power? What does your Bible say in the very first words? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, the creator, does what? Created. With what materials? With no materials. With what tools did he use? None. He creates. If you're going to take notes, I want you to think about this idea of God for a moment. Note number one, God has the power to create everything from nothing. What kind of power is that? What kind of power is that? Think about God. Jesus is walking to them on the water. He's communicating to them. And he's walking on the water. He's got H2O underneath his feet, right? Have you ever looked up in the stars? Here's a picture of stars, the galaxies. Real picture. Waiting for you to look at there tonight. If you get a chance to go outside, maybe find some place away from the lights, and I mean really look at the stars, or go and check out the telescopes of what they're seeing that are in space. These stars were produced without tools and without materials. They sprung from the emptiness of existence itself. People, the stately fabric of the cosmos emerged out of nothing except, check this out, the voice of God. God speaks. Psalms 33, 6 through 9 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. The starry hosts, by the breath of his mouth. What kind of power are we talking about? He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. God speaks and things pop into existence. That's impressive. Note number two. Take this one down. God has the power to speak matter into existence. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, he spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. God. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. God, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. Amen? That's power. King David said this, the person who slayed Goliath, right? In Psalm 62, in his psalm, he says, one thing God has spoken, two things I've heard, power belongs to the Lord. Power belongs to the Lord. Power belongs to the Lord. Real power belongs to the Lord God Almighty. It's his power. God has power. Whoever you think has power in this world right now, it's nothing. It's funny, I was thinking about this. You know, like, if you watch, like, Hollywood will come up with superheroes, okay? Marvel Comics, for example, you know? All these superheroes have superpowers, right? Thor has a hammer. Hey, that's great, right? God can speak everything from nothing, and he's real, and he's why you exist. Note number three, write this down. Real power belongs to the Lord God Almighty. And people, this was so displayed. If God wants you to understand who he is, and he does, he explains himself to you by sending you his son, Jesus. When God becomes flesh and walks among us, and to the leper, Jesus says, you're clean, and immediately his leprosy is gone. Or the person who lays in the grave for 4 days and get up and arise from the dead, and he does. The wind and the storms are there, and God speaks to the wind and the sea, and it calms. Because he speaks. This is God. He can silence the storms with a single word. Look at this picture. Who is this person? Who is he? The disciples are sitting in the boat going, you got to be kidding me. They were on their journey to meet Jesus. And to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. As he's coming, he's walking toward them. He's communicating by his actions. He's speaking to them. Is God speaking to you? What does God want you to know? Do you see him? Here's the beautiful thing. So do you guys know Buzz Lightyear's reading the Bible? Do you hear about that? Tim Allen has picked up the Bible. He's 71 years of age. He just has been on his social media going, I'm reading the Bible for the first time in my life. I'm getting through the prophets. He says, it's amazing. It's not what I expected. Tim Allen, go Buzz Lightyear, right? Did you know that when you read this, God did a lot of this in the Old Testament? People were struggling. People were going, man, God, what are you doing? Moses, we're going to, and he parts the Red Sea. I mean, when you read this, God did a lot of this stuff. Has anyone ever heard of Elijah, the great prophet of God? Elijah is in your Bibles in 1 Kings. Elijah is an amazing man of God called the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Did more as many signs as Moses did. Miracles came from him. Moses probably did a few more miracles than Elijah, but he was there. And in the times that Elijah was living in, he was standing alone for the Lord. In a nation that was totally moving away from God, Elijah was standing for the Lord. As the nation's just fleeing from God at a rapid pace. Does that sound familiar? Elijah says, he's this powerful prophet of God that wouldn't yield. And as the governing authorities was telling the people to worship over their gods, Elijah said, you're done. And he actually prays a curse And it doesn't rain for 3 years on the whole nation. And this is in a time where agricultural society is important, right? As it is now. And for 3 years, it doesn't rain. And after 3 years, Elijah comes back, and people are now, where is this guy that called down this curse? And Elijah says, it's time to figure out who God is. Are you going to follow Baal? Are you going to follow the Lord God Almighty? There's this great power encounter between deities on Mount Carmel, which is just in the Valley of Armageddon, where another great battle one day will be fought. And the contest was, is that we're gonna you get your 450 prophets of Baal, and you let them sacrifice to their God, and let's see if God will call down fire from heaven and eat up the altar. And they all day, nothing happens. And then Elijah says, it's my turn. And he gets an altar, repairs the altar of the Lord. That's how bad their nation was in decay, where they had totally forgotten God. Unbelievable. Sound familiar? And after he says, go get, pour water on top of it. And then he prayed, God, show these people that you're God. Fire comes down, totally consumes the altar. Everybody goes, okay, God's God. Slay the prophets of Baal. It's a great revival. Everything's awesome, but not really. Because at the moment of this great triumph, it says this in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 5. So let's just have fun with me this morning. So the president or the king, Ahab, has this wife named Jezebel who is just terrible. She wasn't there, but all her favorite pastors have been destroyed. Anyway, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. This is 1 Kings 19, 1 through 5. And now he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me if it ever be so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. And Elijah said, your threats mean nothing. You better repent, or the Lord God Almighty will do to you what he's done to these false prophets. You need to fear the Lord. Well, that's not what it says, is it? Elijah was afraid. Really? Ran for his life? Really? Came to Beersheba in Judea, and he left his servant there while he went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. And then God sends an angel, starts feeding him, tells him to get up, gives him water, gives him bread. A little bit of like a little confusion from the prophet. He just snapped. God, what are you doing? I thought it was a great revival. Well, shouldn't the king and the queen be leading the charge? And now they're coming to kill me. And this, you're not acting the way I thought you would. What are you doing? Sound familiar? Disciples in a boat? Man, Lord, that was an army. Are we going to beat the Romans? What are you doing, Lord? You ever been there? I'm done. I'm confused. God says, Elijah, I need you to come up here to Mount Horeb because we need to have a talk. And this is what's so cool about this talk. Mount Horeb, by the way, is the place where Moses met God in the burning bush. It's the place where the Ten Commandments were given. There's this mountain somewhere in Arabia where God just does demonstrations of power. And now it's Elijah's turn. So, and let me just read this because it's beautiful. See, this is our God. There's times when God just needs to remind you who he is. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing, right? I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Wham, wham, wham. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. This, I don't know how you picture this. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Can you picture that? But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there's an earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, nothing angry or hard. God, this is our God. Came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? Beautiful, right? Can you picture that? Is anybody here from the Midwest? Tornadoes? Has anyone ever been around a tornado? I hear they're quite frightening. I hear that they sound like trains when they're coming. There's tornado warnings where you're supposed to run. Where? I guess you find a basement. Some people say climb in a tub. Okay, Man, where I live out in Foothill, when Sin and I moved from Irvine to Foothill Ranch, the winds howl. And I remember hearing my fence being torn down one night. That howls at our house when the wind comes. And it gets our attention, okay? Anybody been in an earthquake? Quite interesting. Now, we in California know all about earthquakes, yes? Do you know when they hit, it's like time stops. You can't ignore an earthquake. Do I hear an amen? Does anyone been in an earthquake and you're like, oh, it's just no... Man, everybody freaks. It gets your attention. They can be quite alarming. Has anyone seen what the power of fire can do? Here's this scene with Elijah. And God is outside this awesome display of nature. God is outside this awesome display of nature. God is bigger than all of this stuff. Elijah, what are you doing, man? Lord, the government's a mess. The nation's in rebellion to you. The world's all messed up. Come here. Boom. Now let's talk. You know what, God? Have you ever done one of these? Binoculars. If you look at them, if I was to do this, oh my gosh, you're so far away. I can't. This is what God does to us. Look at me. I'm close. Hi. Does God seem far away? Does God seem that he can't handle you or whatever it is you're going on in your world? See, he's walking on the water. He's outside the displays of what's going on. He's God. God just needs us to center on who he is. See, there's radical similarities between Elijah and the disciples in the boat. Or let's say Elijah and Peter, right? They both were at a time in their life when they were struggling with confusion of what God is doing, and God comes to them at the right time, gets their attention with displays of awesome power, and then says, I need you to trust me, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways. I will make your path straight. After God displays his power to Elijah, Elijah refocuses. He goes back and he gets in the game. After God displays power to Peter. Peter sees it's a lesson, and he asks God, can I come out there? Peter abandons himself completely to the power of Jesus as he fixes his eyes on Jesus, and suddenly, for the first time in history, an ordinary human being walks on the water. What message is Jesus trying to communicate to us today? What message does God want to communicate to his disciples 2,000 years ago as he's walking on the water? Should we look at that picture again? Here's this picture again. God's doing something. Do you see him? He's here. He's here. He wants to tell you something today. And here's the Hebrew word. Are you ready? El Shaddai. Can everybody say a Hebrew word with me this morning? El Shaddai. One more time. It means Almighty. Genesis 17:1 says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. El Shaddai means all-powerful, all-sustaining one, all-sufficient one. Theologians call this omnipotence. Theologians get together and talk about the omnipotence of God. He's omnipotent. Note number four, write this down. Almighty means all-powerful, all-sustaining one. This is who God is. He's all-powerful, all-sustaining one. El Shaddai. See, Jesus is walking to his disciples on the boat, God in human flesh, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form, and he's coming to them because he knows that they're having an issue. And how beautiful. He's walking to them, and he's communicating with them. I'm all-powerful, I'm all-sufficient. Maybe you don't get what I'm doing, but I need you to trust me. I'm your sustainer. See, Jesus wants you to know that he can meet any need in your life. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Why would you pray to somebody that doesn't have the power to help you? Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Man, I'd like to, but I just don't have the power to do that. Jesus, if I die, would you take me to heaven? Well, I wish I could, but I just don't have the power to do that. Jesus, could you do this or that? Man, I'd like to. No. He's El Shaddai in human flesh. He's all powerful. He's all sustaining. He's the one that created you. Your DNA, your genetic code of your existence comes from him. He's the one that thought you up. And he has power and provision over your life. Do you understand? Selah, it means meditate. Think about God. God is power over you. God is provision over you. Well, he doesn't do what I ask. I know. Sometimes he won't. Trust him anyway. He's got it. I love our stained glass window. He's risen. He's not here. Our God has the power to resurrect the dead. I love when Paul says, we believe in the God who raises the dead. That's my God. Do you understand who God is? Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. El Shaddai, Almighty God, El Shaddai. What does this mean for your life? Last note this morning. Knowing that God is almighty encourages us to follow him. Abraham, I am almighty God, walk before me. Okay, one more time. Picture. When I see this, when I picture that Jesus is walking on the water, big stuff, big stuff. I think of my friends that have died. I think of my mom who died when I was 9. And I realize that God has her. And guess what that brings me? hope, peace, because of him. When I realize who God is, I think of people that are no longer here, and I have hope I'll see them again. Big stuff. When I, in my early 20s, prayed for the work that he did on that cross to be applied to my life, that all of my sins before a holy God would be removed as I accepted what Jesus did, I trust that now that's true. Because anybody that can do that, when he promises me something, he is able to complete what he promises me. Do you understand? This is who he is in my life. If he can do this and he promises me this, I believe he has the power to fulfill what any promise that he gives me. I go to prepare a place for you, he told his disciples, and you will be with me forever. That's a promise. Political conventions. Wars in the Middle East. Wars in Europe. Inflation. Inflation? Worry about inflation, people. No, wait. Focus on inflation. Just think about it all the time. Get all wrapped up in politics. Let me know what peace comes into your life through all that. Just listen to it all. Wait, do you see him? Lord, I need wisdom for today. Jesus, would you have anything to say to me on what school I should go to? What behaviors I should do today? Who I should date? Who I should marry? Who I should be friends with or not? What drugs should I take and or not? Should I go to the party tonight? Should I not? Do you see him? He's El Shaddai. He's Almighty God. Follow me righteously and uprightly. I'm God. Focus on the Savior, people, not the storms. And here's the beautiful thing. In a still small voice, Elijah, what are you doing? He says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. Do you know him? He's God. He changes everything. Everything. Keep your mind there, people. You won't sink in this life and into the next. Do I hear an amen? Is God speaking to you? What's God trying to tell you today? Do you see your troubles? Yeah, there's troubles. Is he bigger or smaller than your troubles? What's bigger, your troubles or God? Well, I have a terminally ill disease. Okay. Is that bigger or is God bigger? Wow. I'm bankrupt. What's bigger, bankruptcy or God? What end do you look through? See, all Jesus is trying to do to his disciples is he's trying to get them to look. All God wants you to do today is to look. I need you to see him more clearly. Look, what end are you going to look at him with? He's walking to you. He's the all-sustaining one. He's the all-powerful one. He speaks matter into existence. And he became a man and walked among us. The creator became the created, so the created could know the creator. The creator wants the created to know that I'm really powerful, and anything that's going on in your life, I'm bigger than it. I want you to focus on me. Follow me. And the creation says, okay. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters in this room. Spirit of the living God, speak into our lives, into the mystery of who God is, as we try to understand the one who's walking on the water. As the disciples were trying to understand, who are you? Lord, we are all on our journey to meet Jesus and to know Jesus. And we are all on our journey to learn how to follow Jesus. I ask, Lord, today that you would speak to all of us today and remind us of who you are, that you're El Shaddai. You are Almighty God, the all-sustaining God. And if I am for you, who can be against you? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Encourage us, I pray, Lord Jesus, with these words and this teaching that you gave so long ago on the Sea of Galilee. In Jesus' name, amen.